Thank you so much for joining us today at our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Strangely wrapped gifts. If you read our text, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." We put that scripture on all types of Christmas cards. We see it, but what does it mean, and what is the context of it? We can read that scripture 2,000 years after the birth of Christ, 2,700 years after it was written. And we can look at it and say, oh yeah, there it is. Like, we get it. Like, we get the gift of Christmas. Of course, it's Jesus. God gave us a redeemer. He gave us a savior. He gave us this wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. Of course, we can see it. But I wonder if the nation of Israel would see it the same way, because God didn't package this thing the way that we thought he could have. If you look at the packaging of Isaiah chapter 9, you have to go back to Isaiah chapter 8 and see how the prophet Isaiah packages this gift. I want to read about 7 or 8 verses, and as we read it, I just want you to see if this rings true today. Here's Isaiah before he tells us the story of Christmas, Isaiah chapter 9. In chapter 8, verse 18, he says, "Here am I and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty, who dwells on Mount Zion. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spirits who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn." Look at verse 21. Think about 2020. Verse 21 says, "Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and only see distress and only see darkness and fearful gloom, and they will thrust into utter darkness." I say that because it's so easy to look at the year that we just walked through and only see the mess. It's so easy to only see the loss, or only see the confusion, or only see the fear, or only see the doom, or only see the division, or only see the distress. You have to understand that Isaiah is prophesying to the nation of Israel about an invasion from the Assyrians. Now, when you look at who the Assyrians were, Assyria was an evil nation. Assyrians were savages. They were terrorists. The capital of Assyria was a city called Nineveh. Now, if you remember the story of Jonah, Nineveh is the place that God tells Jonah to go that he doesn't go to. And so he jumps off the boat. Y'all know the story. The whale swallows him up, and then the whale takes him to the place that he didn't want to go. It's a place that is known for wickedness. It's known for immorality. It's a sin city. It was a place of injustice. The Assyrians would literally torture and kill innocent Jews. They would decapitate them. They would actually skin Jewish men and women alive. It was an evil place. It was full of violence. They were a nation under a cruel and oppressive government, and their method of operation was always terrorism. Isaiah is prophesying to Israel that these Assyrians are going to invade them, that it was going to be dark and gloomy and distressful. And that's what was going to happen. And so when they would invade a nation, fear would invade with them. Division would invade with them. Brokenness would invade with them. Confusion would invade with them. I say that because in 2020, we've been invaded. America has been invaded by fear. America has been invaded by division. America has been invaded by darkness. And because we've been invaded, I believe that the level of hopelessness in this country is at if it's not an all-time low, it hasn't been this low in a long, long time. Let me just give you some facts. This is from the Barna Research Group. This is what they're telling us about Americans in the last 9 months, since the month of March, just listen to these rates. Since the month of March, alcohol sales in the United States have gone up 57%. Prescription drug use has gone up 71%. Suicides are up 87%. Divorces are up. Domestic violence is up. Arrests are up. Depression is up. Anxiety is up. Fear is up. Stress is up. Fear is up. Division is up. Well, is there anything down? Yeah, church attendance. Your bank account is down. Morale is down. I'm saying all that because I just want you to understand that we have been invaded, that the enemy had a plan for you in 2020. He has invaded. He's brought fear. He's brought doubt. He's brought division and hopelessness and stress. When Isaiah prophesies in chapter 8, he ends chapter 8 saying that this is going to be a dark, gloomy, dark, utter darkness is the word, pitch dark, no light type of time. That's how he ends chapter 8. Very next verse, though, look at it. Verse 1 of chapter 9, very next verse. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. Look what it says. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Do you see it? I will read it again. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned. Do you see it? In the dark, a light has dawned. I'm saying that because everybody's looking at our nation right now, even the church, and we're saying, oh my gosh, what's going on? It's dark. It's dreadful. Doom is coming. What's going to happen? Look at our nation. It doesn't make sense. It's doom and gloom. The people were walking in darkness and seeing a great light. But it says, but in the darkness, the light has dawned. I'm telling you that because I'm telling you this. We're not on the brink of doom. We're on the brink of dawn. If we can understand that in the church, that God is up to something, that God has a plan, that he's planning big things for our church, that he's planning big things for the body of Christ. Why? Because weeping may endure for the night, but it's joy that comes in the morning, that you can feel the warmth, that you can see the light. It's what the prophet Isaiah was saying. He's saying, in the darkest time of the world, he's prophesying that a son is coming, that a gift is coming. The government will rest upon his shoulders. He's going to be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's saying, in the middle of an invasion, he wants us to know that a gift is giving. Why? Write this thought down. It's often in our greatest grief that God packages his greatest gifts. Think about that in the context of your life, that God will allow you to go through the divorce, not to hurt you, not to kill you, not to destroy you. He will allow you to go through some dark time for you to understand that there's some greater gifts on the other side of this. Somebody needs to hear that Adele's the only one that can't say hello from the other side. That if you walk through this thing long enough, you'll get on the other side of what you're walking through and realize God used the darkness, that the darkness that you thought was going to kill you was actually a gift. Let me tell you this. The three most common used words or topics this year on cable news outlets, the three most used topics in 2020, I'm going to give them all three to you, was this. Number one was COVID. That was the most used phrase or topic in 2020. And so not just the word COVID, but anything that went with it, coronavirus, COVID-19, social distancing, lockdown, phase one, mask, Dr. Fauci. I mean, you can just fill in the blank. I mean, how many of you are just sick and tired of hearing COVID? I mean, I'm just sick of it. But every time you turn on, you hear a report and the numbers and the death rate, and it's overwhelming just to process it all. The second most talked about topic in 2020 was race. And so in 2020, we heard things like racism, black, white, injustice, George Floyd. We heard defund the police. We heard all these phrases that had to do with the topic of division. And that's what it was. It was a divide. It was black, white, red, blue, right, left, us, them. It was division, division, division. And depending on who you listen to, it's two separate stories. And every time you turn on the news, it's like they're trying to divide us. So I want you to just get this thought that the most common thing was pandemic and death and COVID. The second most was division and race and us and them. And the third most talked about topic was the election. It was Biden, Trump, Democrat, Republican, impeachment, MAGA, red, blue, left, right. And so no wonder that we're so jacked up, and no wonder that we're so depressed. The words that we heard and the topics that we saw produce more pain and more confusion and more division than any other words. But here's my thought today. But what if these words, COVID, division, election, COVID, division, election, were not the gifts, because they aren't gifts, but what if they were the wrapping paper that God used to get our attention? And the problem is, as a church, we haven't wanted to unwrap it, because we don't like the way that it looks. It's some ugly wrapping paper, y'all. But if we just look at this thing like it's ugly wrapping paper and don't realize that God has got something on the inside for every single one of us, that God's got something on the inside for our Savior's church, that God's got something on the inside of this for the body of Christ, then why in the world did we walk through it? I don't want to just walk through it. I want to come out on the other side holding something. I need some gold in this thing. That if we can walk through this season and say, you know what? We didn't just survive. God had a purpose in this. God had a plan in this. His spirit was in the middle of this. And it was through this that revival broke out. If we can start looking at it this way. But I think in order for us to do that, we have to take some new words. Can we focus on some new words going into 2020? Can we forget about COVID? Can we forget about division? Y'all want to stay on those words, or can we pick some new ones? I want to give you three words. It's going to take me about 15, 20 minutes to do this. Three words I want to give you. I'm going to give them to you right now, and then it's going to make sense as I preach them. I want you to write these three words down. Behold, beyond, and nevertheless. Write those three words down. I'm going to read it to you out of Scripture. Behold, beyond, and nevertheless. Write the first one down. Say the first one with me. Behold. If you want to see dawn and not doom, then behold. 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 Go back to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah says this: Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. Do you know that God wants to show signs and wonders to the people of St. Landry Parish through you? That's what God wants to do. But he starts with the word behold. When Isaiah wants to announce that in the midst of darkness and confusion that there is a hope, he uses the word behold. 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 Behold is an important interjection that's used throughout Scripture. I'm just going to read you a couple of them. It's in the first Christmas story when the angel comes to Mary and to Joseph. She says this, or he says this to him. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. He tells them this when they're in a season of fearfulness. It says right before that they're fearful. So between the fearful and the joy, there is a behold. John the Baptist says it when speaking to the people about the coming Messiah named Jesus. He says, behold, the Lamb of God comes to take away the sins of the world. The word behold literally means to look and see. It means to watch. Everybody say watch. My question is, what have we been watching in 2020? Where has our attention been? Where has our focus been? What have we magnified in 2020? What have we been watching? I think if we're honest with ourselves, most of us would say, you know what? I've been watching social media. Do you know that the average person in 2020 spent 2 hours and 48 minutes a day on social media? That's crazy. Feeding us. It's called the feed. Feeding us. 2 hours and 48 minutes a day. We spend another hour and 27 minutes a day watching CNN, watching Fox News. We fixed our eyes on Fox. We fixed our eyes on CNN. We fixed our eyes on Instagram. We fixed our eyes on Facebook. And you know what our eyes have been fixed on the last 9 months? You know what goes in our eyes and in our heart and in our spirit? COVID, division, and politics. COVID, division, and politics. What have we been seeing? COVID, division, and politics. What have we been magnifying? COVID, division, and politics. What's been in our heart? COVID, division, and politics. No wonder it's so dark. No wonder it's so depressing. We fixed our eyes on the wrong thing. But isn't it Paul that says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the end of this thing. He's the A and the Z and the elemental P. He's everything in the middle. That's who he is. But we have to fix our eyes on him. Why? Because whatever you fix your eyes on, you will magnify. Whatever you magnify, that's what you behold. And whatever you behold, that's what you trust in. What are we trusting in? What are we trusting in? You know what's amazing to me is that people actually thought that if their candidate won or the other guy and the other guy lost, that if their candidate won, then God's presence would be ushered into America. And then if their president lost, that it wouldn't be. Think about that. That we've made politics such an idol in America on both sides that we think God's move is dictated by who's in the Oval Office. We've trusted in systems. We've spent energy and effort getting on Facebook trying to persuade another side. Think about if we took half the time we spent trying to persuade somebody to become a Democrat or Republican, if we cared that much about a dying person going to hell just to try to convert them to Christianity. But it's what we've trusted in. It's what we've magnified. David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name. Together, it's what we magnify. Whatever we magnify is what we put our trust in. What we put our trust in is where we find expectation. Think about that. What do you expect God to do? We have expectations of all types of things. When you behold something, you have an expectation regardless of what you see. Behold, everybody say behold. I married a girl from Alabama. In 2000, no, somebody just said Roll Tide. Please don't kick me when I'm down. I made it till the second quarter last night of the game, and then I got so mad I watched the Hallmark movie. Okay. I married a beautiful girl from Alabama. We lived there for 9 years, from 2001 to 2010. We lived in Alabama, and I know people here, you know, we're Cajun, and we're proud of our heritage, but when you go to Alabama, they're redneck, y'all. I mean, they say things. They got twangs. You ain't. My wife, I remember the first time she said something about the hose pipe. And I was like, the what, girl? She said, the hose pipe. I said, what's that? She said, that green thing coming out the brick. I was like, it ain't no pipe. It's just the hose. But they just say things different. Like, they think we say things different. And so I remember living there, and there was a term that I didn't really hear till I went there. They would say, lo and behold. Have you ever heard that term? Lo and behold. You know, it's an interjection, and the way that you would say it would be like, if you saw something that you didn't expect to see, it was like a twist. You know, like let's just say there was like a 80-year-old grandmother riding her scooter through Walmart, and her 10-year-old grandson cursed her out. And you would say something like, I'd look at Dwayne, and if I lived in Alabama, I would say, Dwayne, there was this 80-year-old grandma in Walmart. And her 10-year-old little twerp grandkid said a four-letter word to her. And lo and behold, she jumped off that scooter and beat that boy with a bag of chips. Lo and behold, what it means is that you didn't see it coming. It's the flip, the script got flipped. So you don't like the way that things worked out in 2020. Well, lo and behold, God works all things according to his purpose and plans, not yours. So if you lost some things in 2020, well, lo and behold, God makes all things new. So you've been wronged in your life. Lo and behold, God is the defender of our soul and vengeance is his, says the Lord. Lo and behold. It means that even though you don't see it, God's got a plan. Can you say behold? The second word I want to give you is beyond. Would you say beyond? The problem with us is we get the first two letters right. We just be. Especially when we're going through a difficult season. It's easy just to be in your depression. It's easy just to be in your fear. It's easy just to be in your doubt. It's easy just to be. And when you're just being, it's just you're just existing. We get stuck when we're just the be. What God is asking us to do is instead of being in it, we have to be beyond it. That God is doing something beyond 2020. That 2020 is just the wrapping. That God's got a plan that's way bigger than COVID-19, than racial division, than who's in the White House. God's got something beyond this, and we have to look beyond. Why? Because there's always meaning beyond the moment. There's meaning beyond your present situation. There's meaning beyond the divorce. And if you just look at 2020 as a season of unfortunate events and you don't realize that God's got something beyond here, then we'll never get past it. We'll always just be. Look at what Isaiah says. He says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as it was in her vexation. When at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea. Check this out. Beyond Jordan. Beyond Jordan. If you look at what Jordan is the Jordan River. The Jordan River was always a place of transition. It was never pretty, but it was always transition. If you remember, it was Jacob who came as a deceiver into the Jordan River, and as he transitioned across it, he wrestles with God and he walks away with the limp. It was a transition from Jacob to Israel. It wasn't pleasant, it wasn't pretty, but it was beyond where he was. Jacob could never get to where God had called him without transitioning beyond the Jordan. Isaiah is saying we have to get to a place beyond the Jordan. It's always a place of transition. It's a place of change. That's what it was for Jacob. That's what it was for Joshua. That's what it was for Elisha. And so Isaiah is saying that there is hope that's coming to the world. His name is Jesus Christ, and it's coming from beyond the Jordan. It's coming from a place of transition. So I guess what I'm saying is that if you find yourself in a place of transition, if you find yourself between seasons, if you find your place, you know, in this uncertainty, that there is a hope for beyond what you can see. And if we can get our eyes off of 2020, if we can get our eyes off the pain and start realizing that God's got something beyond this, it'll make sense. When you hear the word beyond, it ought to excite you. I got saved in a church that the whole church fit like in this section right here. How many of y'all ever got saved in an old Pentecostal church? Anybody got saved in a Pentecostal church? I was in an old Pentecostal church, and there was a couple things. It smelled old, not because of the people, but it just smelled old. The people in the congregation, however, were older. They were just the good old saints. How many know what I'm talking about when I say the good old saints? Like they weren't very slow in their actions, but when the right song came on, I mean, they were like pew walkers. You know what I'm talking about? Something happened. And so I got saved in this church. It was a little church, and it was an older generation. And we used to sing a lot of older songs. And back in the day, I mean, if you weren't clapping fast, I mean, every song back in the day had that beat right there. It didn't matter what it was. And you just start saying, come on, do it with me. Victory in Jesus, my Savior. It didn't matter what the song was, right? And so we used to sing that song, Victory in Jesus. Y'all remember that song? Any old saints remember that song? And I remember we would start singing the song, man. And it was like the more seasoned people. I mean, they'd walk in with you know, with a walker. But when this song came on, It's like something happened. Victory in Jesus, my Savior. We get to the last verse. I wrote it down so I wouldn't mess it up. And they start singing this, and they say, I heard about a mansion he's built for me in glory. I heard about the streets of gold. Then they say this. They say, beyond the crystal sea. And man, when we get to that place beyond the crystal sea, these people who were weak and feeble in their bodies all of a sudden started shouting. Why? Because they knew there was a place that is beyond their present condition, that there's hope beyond the Jordan, there's hope behind COVID, there's hope beyond 2020. And if you can just see that there's hope beyond this thing, it will change everything. The problem is the packaging has fooled us. Don't let the packaging fool you. All you see is the packaging, but you have no idea what's inside. Let me see if I can say this the right way. A few years ago for Christmas, Rachel and I were exchanging gifts. And, you know, we have a limit. Like, we both going to spend the same amount of money. You know what I'm saying? We kind of have that limit. Like, girl, don't spend too much, but spend a little bit, you know? And so we kind of spend the same amount of money on each other just so it's fair and we don't go broke. And so the gifts are over. And I looked at her and I said, girl, I got one more gift for you. She said, say what? I said, yeah. So I hand her this gift, and it's like about that size right there. It's all wrapped nice, and she opens it up, and the gift, it was in a Dell keyboard box, like a keyboard for your computer, and I taped that bad boy up, and she looked at me, and she said, you got me a keyboard? I was like, you know it, girl, ASDFJKL semicolon, you better type me something. And she goes, if you got me a keyboard, like, I'm gonna throw this gift away. I mean, I ain't gonna even bother. It better not be a keyboard. I was like, just open it. And so she's like getting the knife out, cutting that thing, and she finally opens up the keyboard box. And you know what was on the inside of the keyboard box, Dwayne? I got her 2 tickets on the 6th row, front and center, to see Celine Dion. And I looked at her and I said, how do you like me now? See, what's on the box isn't necessarily what's inside the box. And the box may say Dell keyboard, but the gift says Celine. The box may say Dollar Tree, but the gift says Prada. Because what's on the box isn't necessarily what's on inside the box. And the package doesn't have to be pretty for the gift to be good. That's why James says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. So the box may say 2020 on it, but the gift may say God's plans and purposes for your life. But you have to open the box. You would be a fool to not take the Celine tickets because you didn't like the keyboard box. You would be a fool not to drive away in the Lexus because you didn't like the bow. But wouldn't we be a fool as well that we didn't get all that God has for us as this year ends because we didn't like the packaging of 2020? Because you disagreed with who got in the Oval Office? Because things didn't go your way? Wouldn't we be a fool to miss the plans and purposes of God? And I guess I came here today just to tell somebody, just open the box. Just open the box, because the gift is way beyond the packaging. There is a gift wrapped up. And I'm telling you prophetically, I believe this with all my heart, that God is about to pour out his spirit. I believe that revival is going to, it's about to happen in St. Landry Parish. I believe God wants to breathe on us. I believe that the greatest harvest is coming to this city. I really, really, really do. And you're looking around and saying, where's everybody? It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, it's the ability to see beyond where we are right now. Final word, and I'm closing. Vic, help me out. Nevertheless. Everybody say nevertheless. Isaiah says, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. When God wants to speak to his children about this hope that is coming, he uses the adverb nevertheless. Nevertheless. The word nevertheless, it means despite, however, even though. It's used 96 times in Scripture. I'm not going to give you all 96. I'm just going to give you 92. I'm kidding. I'm just going to give you 3. Ezekiel chapter 16, God is talking about a nevertheless type of love that no matter what you've done, the grace of God and the love of God, you can never outrun. He says, nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. It means that God loves me in a nevertheless type of way. Even when I messed up and fall short, he loves me nevertheless. Luke chapter 5 talks about this nevertheless obedience, a story about Peter and the boys, and they're fishing, and they've been fishing all night and they've caught nothing. You ever felt that way, that you've done everything that you can do? You've done it your way 100 times, and no matter how much effort, no matter how much sweat, no matter how much thought you put into this thing, it's just not working. Maybe I'm talking to somebody in their marriage right now. Maybe I'm talking to somebody in their parenting right now, that you've done it a certain way for so long. You've done everything you know how to do. They've fished this spot before, and they've caught nothing. And then Jesus says, boys, y'all catch anything? By the way, Jesus knows the answer to the questions that he asked you way before you even answered. He just wants to see if you know the answer. And it says this. He says, cast your nets on the other side. And Simon said to him, yo, master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Like, have you seen 2020? There's nothing. Have you seen my bank account? There's nothing. I mean, have you seen the love in my marriage? There's nothing. Have you seen my present situation? I've been working this thing. I've been at it for 6 months. I've toiled all night, every night. I've been doing this thing. And you mean to tell me that 6 feet on this side of the boat, come on, Jesus, I mean, 6 feet away, that there's more fish on, like, there's a million fish on this side of the boat, but there's no fish on, come on, that doesn't make sense. And I think some of us in the middle of 2020, or as it comes to an end, and we're looking at areas of our life, and we're like, can I even trust God anymore? I mean, God, here's all your scriptures. Here's everything that you said. You said, for me and my house, we shall be saved. You've said all these things. Raise a child in the way they should go, and in the end, it shall not depart from you. You've said all these things, but I'm looking at my present situation. I've been toiling. I've been praying. I've been doing everything right, and I see nothing. So Peter says, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Before Jesus speaks to their situation, their biggest problem was empty nets. When Peter comes to Jesus with a nevertheless type of obedience, they didn't have enough room to put all the fish that they caught. It's nevertheless. Paul would use this term nevertheless. When he's talking about persecution, he says, we are troubled on every side, nevertheless, not distressed. We are perplexed, nevertheless, not in despair. Persecuted, nevertheless, not forsaken. We are cast down, nevertheless, not destroyed. Nevertheless, can you see it? It's when you trust beyond what you can see. It's when you're obedient, even when it doesn't make sense. It's realizing that if I dig deep enough into this package, God's got something good for me in here. I want to read you the scripture, and this is the prophetic part. I really believe this is the scripture. I read it this week, just in my reading, and I believe this with all my heart. I believe that God is using 2020 to set us up for something great. I believe that our greatest days are ahead of me. I believe that the greatest harvest in St. Landry Parish is coming. I believe that the walls of division are being broken down. I believe that chains are breaking off of people. I believe there's going to be a fresh anointing in here. I believe God's going to do supernatural things in your family. And I believe it's going to be suddenly. I feel like a lot of us have been like Peter. We've been toiling and toiling and toiling and toiling. And then it's just a season of suddenly that's going to come upon us. Here's where I want to end prophetically. Listen to me. Romans chapter 13. I read this week. And I just want you to know that God is up to something. Listen to me. Apollosis, the hour has come for us to wake from our slumber. I'm going to say it again. It's for every single one of us in this room. The hour has come for us to wake from our slumber. We've been slumbering. The media has duped us. Social media, the world, culture. We're just so tired of everything that's going on. We don't even have enough energy. Listen to me. The hour has come for us to wake from our slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. Check this out. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. I'm telling you, that is prophetic for us. It's prophetic for your family. I will say it again. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The darkness is nearly over. The sun will rise again. The year is nearly over. The new season is upon us. It is the promise of Isaiah that in the midst of darkest times, there is something that's on the horizon. There's a new dawn that's coming. There's a freshness that's coming to the land. I don't know if you can sense it. I don't know if you can feel it, but I'm telling you prophetically, it's coming. And if you think about everything that we've hoped in, we've put our hope in all these things, If Trump gets in, it's going to be okay. If Biden gets in, it's going to be okay. If this person gets in, it's going to be okay. Watch this. I'm going to go back to it. I'm going to end with it one last time. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. Watch this. And the government will be on his shoulders. Not Trump's shoulders. Not Biden's shoulders. Not a political party. Not a White House. He said, put it on me. I'm the only one who can carry this thing. Put it on me. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. In a world of hurting people, we need a counselor. In a world of chaos, we need a counselor. You know what a counselor does? He brings divided parties together. We have a wonderful counselor. His name is Jesus Christ. He's not just a wonderful counselor. He is mighty God. That word in the Hebrew is El Gabor. It translates warrior God. We have a warrior God. He is the God that fights my battles. He's the God that fights your battles. He's the God that wins our battles. He defeated hell. He defeated death. And he defeats every enemy that comes against your soul. He's called Everlasting Father. He's not a stepdad. He's not a deadbeat dad. He's not a dad that runs out on his kids. He's not a dad that runs around. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is everlasting. He doesn't forget about you. Why? Because you are his child and he is your father. He's the Prince of Peace. Come on, does anybody need peace right now? That word Prince of Peace is Sar Shalom. You know what it means? That all is good all the time. That no matter what you face, you have a Prince of Peace. And what I love about this prince, it's the only time I've ever read about a prince who's a prince while simultaneously being a king. He's the King of Kings. Watch this, Revelation chapter 20, last scripture, and then you can go home. And he sat, speaking of Jesus, upon the throne. Now, let me just back up there. You have to understand when Jesus sat on that throne. The Bible says that after he rose from the dead, after he defeated death, hell, and the grave, Hebrews 10, 12 says, he ascended into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. I just want you to get this picture that Jesus is sitting down. You know when you sit down? When your work is done. He says, it is finished. I'm sitting down. He's not pacing the halls of heaven. He's not popping Prozac, trying to figure out how to do this thing. He said, I've done everything that I can do. I've got the victory, and the victory's not just mine. It's yours too. It is finished, so I'm sitting down. Okay, so he sits down on the throne, and it says this. Check this out. Go back to Revelation. And behold, I make all things new. What I love about Jesus is that he doesn't re-gift junk. He doesn't take last year's sweater from grandma and say, who can I give this to and Christmas this year. He says, if you get down to the gift, it's going to be something brand new. I guess what I'm asking is, how many of you are just sick and tired of the old and you need something brand new as we enter into a new year? I'm talking about a new perspective. I'm talking about a newness in your marriage. I'm talking about a newness in your heart. I'm talking about a rekindled flame with your first love. I'm talking about God wants to do something brand new. He wants to do something brand new in our community. He wants to do something brand new in me. He wants to do something brand new in you. He wants to do something brand new in this church. And if you're ready, I think just as a declaration to him, if you're ready for God to do something brand new and you realize that 2020 was just some ugly wrapping paper and there's something brand new for you and your family at the bottom of the box, if you realize that and you want it, would you stand at your feet with me? It's a new season. It's a new season. Keep digging. I'm telling you, God's doing something. Don't buy into the doom. God is up to something. He's sovereign. He is seated on the throne of heaven. Right now as we speak, he's sitting up there. The world is his footstool. And I think what he's saying is, I got this all figured out. This is part of my plan. And he used 2020 to expedite his plan. He used 2020 to see who's really serious about this thing and who's not. He used 2020 to say, you know what? If y'all can make it through this, you can handle the blessings that are coming. You can handle what's coming. And I just want to encourage you, as we step into a new year, I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, I'm telling you, God is going to do great things. Behold, I'm doing something brand new. Do you receive that this morning? Come on, we just lift our hands. Father, we thank you, God, that you're doing something brand new. I pray for new perspectives. God, I pray for brand new relationships. God, I pray for brand new seasons. God, that you're doing something brand new in someone's marriage. You're doing something brand new in someone's business. You're doing something brand new in someone's family. I thank you, God, that we didn't get to the end of 2020 just to say that we survived. God, there's gold in this year for us, God. And I pray as we unwrap, God, we break through the box. God, that we tear it up. We're not trying to save bows. We're not trying to repurpose paper. God, we're breaking through this box. We're ripping the tape off. We're ripping the cardboard off. God, we got the scissors out. We're using whatever we can. God, we want all of you in 2021. I want all of you, God. I want all of you in this church, all of you in this city, in this community, in St. Landry Parish, all of you with my children and my marriage, God. We want all of you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that it's in our greatest grief that you package the greatest gifts.